Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a early morning. We are just getting everything prepared, getting everything set. God is able to do exceedingly above anything we could imagine or ask for. I am excited. Yesterday, I had all day to be with the Heaven's Harvest Ministries family, and we had a tremendous time. And we miss Brother Pickett family, Smoot family. Amen. And those who had other engagements, we miss people. I thank God for just this day. I'm a little stuffy this morning. And it was that full day yesterday. It got me a little stuffy on the day. But I am excited about what God has in store for us and through us and what he is doing. I'm excited. Really, I am. I'm going to be a little different today. We have so much going on. This is a return week. This morning, I got my dear friend with me, Polar. And he's in need of full attention. This morning, I threw the ball out to him, and he really had an anticipation. I was going to throw it out there and go get it and bring it back to him. And that's not what we're doing this morning. Amen. So it's been exciting. So I got a couple little circumstances going on. Stuffiness. My spoiled dog, amen, but an excitement for family, and I've been blessed. I've been truly, truly blessed. I've been blessed by the hand of the Lord. I've been blessed by the things God has provided to me. I've been blessed with life, health, and strength, even though we don't like circumstances because it's not really considered television or social media ready to have congestion. It's life. You know, sinuses and asthma and some other things. It's just life. It comes with the territory. And I'm okay with it. I'm okay with the circumstances that come with it. I'm okay. Then I might have a little, you heard that? I might have a little something going on. And it is a little warm here in Atlanta on this morning. I got a little sneeze going on. And just, I'm okay with it. And I will not battle with that. Just won't battle with it. This morning, I am excited about taking a moment, and we were trying to figure out some things, and I told our engineer, we just want to talk about my endearedness to my sons, not my boys, my sons, and I've been blessed with great boys. I've just been graced. I've been graced with great sons. I really have. Young man, God-fearing and loving life, and they are very talented and very intelligent, and God has allowed me that opportunity just to have that in my presence for life, and they're strong, and they are something when it comes to when you get together with them. They bring you a lot of joy and a lot of, if you let them, they'll bring you a lot of things that's going to wear you out. But I'm still good. I'm happy in the name of Jesus. They're growing. They're growing every day. I have one in the military. Excuse me, people. Hear that congestion? I have one in the military. He's an officer in the Army. I have another one in high school. And he's coming on around to his junior year. And they both have brought me something that I've always been endeared with in my heart, which is fatherhood. I enjoy being a dad. I enjoy being a father. I enjoy the whole process of being there with them and communicating with them. And sharing the teaching mechanism of manhood and sharing the teaching mechanism of a husband and a father and a friend and letting them know that I am present and that I will always be present. And I must stay present. I must forsake things to be sure that I'm present. But as their life changes, it becomes something beautiful to watch. And to walk through the changes with them, I won't deliver their ages. You just know if they are at a certain place in life, you pretty much know their age. And I've been graced heavily that that they are honorable. They're honorable men. They're men that love family, and they love their family. They love their friends. They're loyal men to their friendships, and I appreciate that. And I watch their loyalty of both of them to those they befriend. They're loyal to the family structure. Amen. And to what's important to being sure that the family unit is extended for years to come. And just the process of them. I grew up in a certain type of way. I grew up in a spiritual home. I grew up in a saved home. I grew up with a home that had situations. And through my growth, through my growing up, I was determined, I was very determined, to be sure that my sons, amen, excuse me, everybody, I wanted to be sure, excuse me, sorry, it's not a good look, is it? It's not a good look. But I wanted to be sure that my sons had an opportunity to get more than I had with family. Just wanted to be sure of that. When you see me leaning over, I'm petting the other boy in this house, Polar, our golden doodle, very heavy and big. But I wanted my sons to be sure they had a guarantee that I would forever be present. I didn't go into ministry as a pastor until 2009. Before then, I guaranteed my sons that I will always be present. I'll forever always be there. I would always show them the balance of family, the balance of life, the balance of being sure they get provided what they need to be provided, and the guarantee also that I would show them the sanctity and the fullness of Christ and the church and marriage and brotherhood and the strength of a strong social binding with others that allow them to have relationships that extend past the years of time. When I look at them and I think of my sons, I constantly think of the opportunities that are granted just because of the hand of God. And those opportunities are blessed to me. They're really blessed to me. Because when I look at my sons, I think of the future. I think of generations to generations. I think of their children. My oldest son has a little family there. And I think of the children, and because I have a grand, and I think of what's in front of us. I think of what we have to teach and what we must endure for the sake of the family. And do I just teach them things to have them seeing things, or do I open the heart of situations and the depth of it so my sons can have clarity about life? So they won't make the same mistakes. Because I looked at my world, and I looked at the way I was raised and the things that came about. And I went, man, everything was not right. Everything was not clear. My parents did a great job of what they taught us. Amen. But there were small elements that we just have to consider about where I would lead mine, my children. These great guys here are the heart and the reason. When I thought of in my younger years of raising a child, I always said because of what I had missed out on that I thought I should have had, I had guaranteed myself that I would be a dad that was always there, a dad that was at every function, a dad that came to a place of understanding with them through the years that would be great for them. I wanted to be a dad that wanted to be sure that he heard his children, allowed them to voice where they're standing. And excuse me, saints of God. That's that sinus again. wanted to be sure. Sorry about that. wanted to be sure that things were better than I had them. But it was the word of God that always was placing me in a place to say that that they have to do greater. For me to talk about my accolades and what I've accomplished, and I build no pathway. Excuse me, everybody. Build no pathway for my sons. It's not love for them. It's actually detrimental. Because a lot of what we have as people of God and mothers and fathers were pathways that were built for us, good or bad. They were pathways. I think of the word. I was in the Word of God, and we posted it in it. It was 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse 15. It talked about there are 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet we have not many fathers. And I thought about the fatherhood years ago. What would I be? Would I be consistent for my children? Would I be forever? Can I say, would I be forever present? And able to nurture them through trials and tribulations and stand by their side and let them know your day going to come to do the exact same thing and be there in the exact same way and stand the exact same way and to extend your hand and your protection if necessary. There's times I've had to be protective of both of them. And even as my grown sons do what they do, I still have to come to a place of, let me help you right quick. So you don't lose your whole life. Because I've been there on the edge of losing your whole world with bad decisions. Oh, my God, I've been there. Every decision was not God. Every decision was not in the will of God. But God's been good to me. He has kept me from the payments that I should have obtained. And I think everybody knows what we're talking about for all of us. But I do want to say, in all this sinus congestion and everything, what am I offering to my sons? And I considered that years ago. What would I be offering them? Even with secondary marriage and relationships and the gospel ministry, I wanted to be sure in ministry that I did not forsake my sons. I wanted to be sure not to put them in ministry. I'm sorry, one more time if y'all don't mind. Not to put them in ministry in the name of Jesus. Never wanting to put them in ministry. Just didn't want to put them in ministry. I wanted ministry to be an option, but I did want to take a moment in it and offer the opportunity. Amen. I just wanted to offer the opportunity. I just didn't want to press the opportunity, but I wanted to be sure Christ was on the basket or in the basket of decisions such as athletics and such as education and such as finance and houses and homes and cars. I wanted them to know that Christ was in there as well. I'm not going to push all the other things that did Christ be at the bottom. Then at the funeral, we call a preacher. Then we want Christ to be thrown upon at the end of the day. I wanted them to know that Christ can be balanced as well. And I wanted them to know that you can't do nothing without God. And you got to be saved from all of your sins. You got to be baptized and filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And we have to stand somewhere. But I also wanted them to know that all conversations, all hearts and all hurts and pains have to be on the table. They just have to be on the table. And I grew up in that old time home where everything wasn't discussed. Y'all remember. And excuse me for that. Where everything wasn't discussed. Everything wasn't put out. You know, there were things you didn't discuss because, you know, it was a business that just wasn't talked about or pushed under the rug. And I remember how much that hurt me. Wanting to know, what is my problem? Wanted to know, why is this happening? Wanted to know, why this historical event is so historical? Wanting to know, who was with who? What was with what? Why was what? What was the history note? What was the generational notes and And what was the beginning of all of this? And where would that, where does this change my ending? Because now times have changed. I grew up in what age where, I grew up in an age where divorce was shunned upon, you know, and blended families was not an option, and extended families were not like we consider them now, and all the things we would see now with the multiplication of relationship types are here. And I know what I desired for my sons, and I know the lifestyles I wanted for my sons, and I wanted to give that to them and present that case to them and present it with strength and be able to tell them it's okay to make a decision. But I can only get to that place with honest conversation. And I don't know if I can help anybody right quick. With my sons, I didn't want the honest conversation to be what's wrong with people. I wanted the honest conversation to be, what can we fix about us? That's the honest conversation I wanted to have. I wanted to have it so deep. I wanted to always look at the end of the day, sons, I get it. There's problems in the family. I get it. Everybody's not on board. I get it. Somebody's a drunk. I get it. Somebody cusses. I get it. Some people acting safe, but they're not being safe. I get it. Some people are fake. I get it. That has nothing to do with where we're going, because they're optional to bring them into your world. We're here. And when the word of God was clear, when the word of God was clear, and it says, but we have not many fathers. Many years ago, I had made up my mind to be a strong dad. I just wanted to be a strong dad. I wanted to be right there. And if most of you, if you know me and my boys, we super tight. And we super tight on purpose. It's what we have put in the element. And I'm clear they're boys. I'm clear they're young men. I'm clear they're males, and so I don't sugarcoat that they go through things. I don't sugarcoat certain things. Even this one here requiring all this petting, he's spoiled. Polar's just spoiled. For all of you with gold doodles, I got one too. Yeah. 3 years old, and he's spoiled. But I wanted clarity to the point where I wanted to be able to provide an open case of conversation, because I didn't want them to fool themselves about who they are and what they do and what the intention is of their lives and what is the probability of success for them. And is there a fallback if something goes wrong on the success? And who do I turn to? And who am I going to speak to who's honest with me? Those were questions when I was younger. I always wondered who holds the real conversation. Hey man, who holds the real conversation? I throw in this nugget. What changed me about some things with my sons, and how I was going to approach them was my early years of watching us in Christ, out of Christ. One side of the family was not in Christ at all. Then the other side of the family was in Christ. And watching the bluntness of out of Christ and the secrets of in Christ. And when I noticed that there was a bluntness in the drunkenness of the out of Christ and a secretive world of them in the soberness of Christ, I didn't want that. I just didn't want that. I just didn't want it because I came through the process of why are them in Christ so secretive about elements they know they're wrong? And those out of Christ were going, hey, we need to handle this thing right now. We need to deal with it right now. Let's get it out in the open since we all are not sober. How do we fix it? How do we get there? How do we straighten it out? How do we approach it? How do we approach the history notes of failure? How do we approach the history notes of, excuse me, people of God? How do we approach the history notes of crime? How do we approach the history notes of sin? And I had vowed when I was early, nope. All of these conversations I will have with my sons. I will talk about where we're from. I will talk about the sin measure so they won't repeat it. I will read the history notes of failure. I will read the history notes of success. I will give them both sides of the fence. I will not sugarcoat it. I will be clear with them because I need them in clarity. So when I leave this earth, they'll be clear about where they should be. So I was determined to have the powerful extension of dialogue with them. Sorry for my hand being in front of my face. To push them the truth. I want them to be honest with themselves. I don't want them to be honest through the successes of life and then make up an honesty by being able to cover. Or y'all see who's deciding to join the conversation. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. I don't need assistance. Okay. Hey, thank you. Thank you. He's trying to help the conversation. He feels left out. Hey, this is his life. I didn't want them to ever feel that the conversation was cut off to where they have to hide it through their successes to legitimize who they are as individuals. Hold on one second. I didn't want them to think they had to legitimize themselves through success because they have to cover their insecurities. I wanted them to be able to conversate and talk about their hurts and pains and what went wrong and resolve that to be able to purely lead somebody else with defined evaluations of their personal insecurities and brokenness, to be able to say, I have fixed myself to lead you fixed and not broken. Just wanted them to lead unbroken. I just wanted them to have the opportunity to lead unbroken. I just wanted them to have the opportunity to lead without the element of, will this come back to bite me? Do I have to take meds to sleep at night? Do I have to take a drink in order to handle deep issues and traumatic issues? I wanted them to have an opportunity to be able to be okay saying who they are and what their name is. I wanted them to be powerful as I taught them. For those that know my sons will tell you the second, my name is, and they'll say their whole name. I was dear to that in my younger years. I said, I'm going to teach my boys. You're not Thomas. You're not Princeton. You're Thomas A. Pulliam Jr. And you are Princeton A. Pulliam. And they say their names in that fashion. And the reason they say their names in that fashion, because I wanted them to be okay, unashamed of the history notes of their life, because there's a balance of good and evil in those notes. But the next generation can be powerfully endeared into the name by how we cultivate them. I don't want them to have to be fake and try to cultivate everything in their lives to look as if it's okay. I wanted them to know it's okay. I wanted them to know, even though there was issues with the family years ago, and even though there was problems, I wanted them to know God's plan of reconciliation is available to them. So those things do not apply. So I go ahead and have the discussion to be able to put safeguards in place that if they see that circumstance, they can avoid it. If they see that hurt, they can avoid it. If you watch a lot of our young men now, they're confused. A lot of our young men are confused, they're hurt, they're broken, they don't know which way to turn. Our women are hurt, broken sometimes, they don't know which way to turn. So they try to validate themselves through acquisitions and education, and what I gained says I'm okay. No, your broken relationship says you're not. Your six broken relationships say you're not. The waywardness of your children say you're not. The things of life say you're not. Because who you are as an individual does not mean you're stable by what you've acquired. You're stable by the relationships that bloom from you. Relationships that you are able to cultivate to grow to another place and another level says who you are. Can you mend? Can you fix? My sons, great guys. I'm a son as well. Was, is, shall be. We are all sons as men, great women of God. mothers and fathers, take that time. Talk to them. Open the door. Open the door to the conversation. Trust me. I don't care what you say, what you hide. It's what hurts and kills. Hand them a history note to your children. Talk about where you're from. Talk about your successes. In every family, there's success. Find it. Talk about it. I found out great things about Pulliam Hat Company in Detroit. I found a ton of articles. I gave them all to my sons. It was from their great-grandfather from the 1930s, 1940s. Gave it over to them. Let them read it. Told him it was not a pretty picture, but he had a success. There were successes there. It was me creating safe environments for my sons to know. Success comes with a price. But you can have it. Put God on your side. If God is on your side, it'll be greater than you could imagine. Try to put in their hearts also that these struggles come with an element of faith and prayer. But the conversation about the struggle, I will give. I will open my heart to the conversation. I made a vow years ago with my sons. I said, listen here, every conversation is able to be put on the table. I don't care how detrimental it is. I've proven to them, I don't care how bad the conversation is. Put it on the table, let's deal with it. And that's what we have between us. Put it on the table. And I sort of let them know, I would not demonize you. I would not crush you. I would not have you broken for your honesty. Honesty give you points. Honesty give you points. That lessens the return. I do want to say to all of us, I have sons, you might have sons and daughters. I have no daughters. God did not entrust that measure. I have many in the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I've created a space for my sons to forever exemplify Christ to them and to give them the opportunity, as if the altar was at home, to be able to confess their sins. I count it a privilege that we have obtained the altar. We have obtained an opportunity to be open space. Now, let me tell you, if you've never had open space and you decide to open the space, don't look for a sudden, all of a sudden, explosion and waterfall and a busting of the dam for your child to give. No, this has to be created. It's been years of the creation of this element because I needed them to succeed as they're doing now in everything that they do. I needed them to grow in everything they do. I needed them to prosper in everything they do. I needed them to know in their worst day they could make a call to me and say, tough day, Dad. And I go, all right, you good? Yes, sir. What you need? And we go from there talking about how good and wonderful God is. Early morning talk this morning, my sons. We have all kind of people, but we few old fathers. Even with that, I thank God they okay with my tissue. my clothes in. My nasal passage blockage. How I am as a dad. My love for chicken. My love for his goodness. My love for his mercy. My love for his kindness. As I get older, I'm changing. In that change, I see life in a different mode. But I thank God he led me to my sons and led them to me. I thank God for the making power that God did through me to create them in his image. So I stand in the imagery of Christ. So when I speak to them, I'm never lost. I'm never lost on Psalms. Psalms 19 and 14. When I talk to them, I always go, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I open up the passageway and have the discussion. Every discussion will not feel good, but does it need to? Because all sores must be open to cleanse before restitched to heal. So sometimes you got to open the conversation for the healing process to begin. Don't run from the healing. I love my boys. I love y'all as well. May the grace of God rest, rule, and abide with you today. May the promises of God keep you. And never forget. Never forget. I love them. They love me. And may God's grace be with you. I call you blessed. And y'all have a great day. It's beautiful out today. I don't know if it's just the ATL or Peachtree City. It's beautiful out today. Y'all take care of yourselves. Have a great day.